God our Father, whose praise is in the church, uplift our souls to the holiness of your presence, that with pure hearts we may adore you and worship you with joyful lips. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, forever and ever. Amen. We begin with our first hymn. Please rise. We follow the order of service printed in your bulletin. You'll note in the confession I have a spoken part there and you have a sung response to the tune of hymn 318. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Acknowledging that we stand in the presence of the Holy God, we humble ourselves and in true repentance we confess our sins. Jesus Christ himself has been punished for all your sins. God the Father has placed upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. According to his authority and by his command, I announce to you the divine decree of our God that all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Continue with the reading of the Passion History, which is a compilation of the four Gospels into one. And the first section for tonight is entitled The Mount of Olives. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples followed him. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." But Peter answered and said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter spoke more vehemently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. They went over the brook Kidron, and they came to a garden named Gethsemane. When he came to the place, Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there. Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John. And he was withdrawn from the others about a stone's throw. And he began to be sorrowful, troubled, and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther, and he knelt down. He fell to the ground on his face and prayed, "Yet if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" He said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise, watch, and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing and ready, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, saying the same words, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words once more. Then he came to his disciples the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. Behold, the hour has come. It is at hand. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us be going. Behold, he who betrays me is at hand." Now Judas, one of the 12 who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and elders of the people, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons, swords and clubs. Immediately, while Jesus was still speaking, a great multitude came, and the one called Judas went before them. Now he who betrayed Jesus had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Take him and lead him away safely." Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them, and when he said to them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked again, "Whom are you seeking?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Judas drew near to Jesus to kiss him. He went up and said to him, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man?" with a kiss. When those who were around Jesus saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Suddenly Simon Peter, one of those who stood by with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew out his sword and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath, for all who take the sword will die by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" In that hour, Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. All this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." The scriptures must be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young men laid hold of him. He left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Here ends our Passion History reading. We continue with the Confession of the Christian Faith according to the Apostles' Creed. That's printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with the next hymn.
Thank you.
Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Tonight's text is written in 1 Peter chapter 1. It's verses 19 and 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. So far, the Holy Word. It's my pleasure and privilege, as always, to bring an important gospel message to you from God's Word. And I also bring you warm greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ at Our Saviors of Jamestown, dear fellow redeemed. A lot of times, these midweek sermons begin with a paragraph like this where we say, our series of meditations this Lenten or Advent season is, well, you can see what it is. It's a series based on Paul Gerhardt's hymn, A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth. Kind of feature a verse of that hymn every week. We sing a verse at the end of the service and relate it to a text from God's Word, tonight's text, 1 Peter 1. A lot of times, also, you'll get a recap at these midweek sermons. We heard last week about the first verse of that hymn. Well, because of how things work with exchanging pulpits, let me begin by tonight giving you a precap. You'll hear next week about the first verse of that hymn. Your friends and our Saviors are hearing about it tonight. In that first verse, Gerhardt describes Jesus as an uncomplaining lamb bearing the sin of the world. And that's just what Isaiah laid out hundreds of years before Christ, describing the coming Messiah as like a lamb being brought to the slaughter without knowing what was going to happen to it, opening not its mouth. Of course, Jesus did know. And now in the second stanza, tonight's verse, Gerhardt goes on. This lamb is Christ, the soul's great friend, the Lamb of God, our Savior. Him God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, Father said, and free men from the fear of death, from guilt and condemnation. The wrath and stripes are hard to bear, but by thy passion men shall share the fruit of thy salvation. Surely the point that the hymn writer, Mr. Gerhardt, wanted us to come away with is that Jesus is the Lamb of God, meaning sent by God as part of God's plan, God's own Son, chosen to do this very difficult but necessary work of saving the human race from sin and death. That's the point Isaiah made in Isaiah 53:6. It said, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And also 53:10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Some of Jesus' contemporaries knew about this. They recognized this plan. They recognized him as the fulfillment of prophecy. John the Baptist comes to mind. John 1:29 says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's the same as saying, here is the one God has chosen and sent for this task of removing human sin. And the same thought that we find in Isaiah, find in the hymn, we find in our text from Peter tonight. Christ is a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. Now, if we're not careful, we can get a little lost in the ideas of eternity and timelessness and God. But our text says Jesus was appointed beforehand to be the sacrificial lamb. So God planned and decided in advance, yes, even before the creation of the world, to send his son Jesus into the world as an atoning sacrifice. This is the Lamb of God, and he has been the Lamb of God all along, from eternity. Him God the Father chose to send to gain for us his favor. Go forth, my son, the Father said. Because Jesus knew that he was the Lamb of God, he kept on referring to himself as the one sent by the Father from heaven into this sinful world. Now, as I said, our limited brains sometimes have trouble with this. This implies, of course, that God knew in advance what was going to happen to the world he created. He knew before he made the world that even though he made Adam and Eve perfect in his own image, that they would rebel after Satan got his hooks into them. And that would plunge the whole world into sin and guilt and fear. And yet he also knew in advance, the Father did, what he could do to save the world from this sin and guilt. Now, when we tend to hear all this foreknowledge stuff, we might be tempted to think that this means God caused the world to sin. It does not mean that God caused the world to sin. No, it is our confession, based on the Holy Scripture, that sin is caused in all wicked men and despisers of God by the perverted will of the devil and of all ungodly men. That's from the Lutheran Confessions. Jesus said the devil is the father of lies, and the devil was a murderer from the beginning. But since God knows all things in advance, he knew the world would be plunged into sin. And so from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, he decided to send his son to be our savior. That's why God was ready. Ready as soon as man fell into his sin to announce his plan of salvation. The woman's seed, the woman's descendant, would come into the world to crush the head of the serpent and take away his power. Now, where do we fit into all of this? Well, we're the guilty ones. We're the ones described by Gerhardt, the descendants of Adam and Eve. We're the guilty, condemned creatures afraid of death. Or the one in his hymn that needs to be set free. The writer to the Hebrews says that we are, through fear of death, subject to lifelong slavery. That's why we need to be delivered. But can't we free ourselves using our God-given intelligence to think up ways to gain God's favor? Can't we please him somewhat by our worship and behavior so he has to forgive our sins and set us free? Won't he honor the sincerity of our worship? Boy, we're really paying attention tonight at church. God's got to honor that. That has to make God happy. Many men have thought that way. And that's how they've invented all kinds of religions down through the years. From the beginning of time, and the object of most of those religions is to make God happy. But every last one of them fails. Most likely, most practitioners of those false religions realize those failures when they come face to face with death. They're hit with doubt. They're still afraid. And they have no way to quiet your fears. And do you think you and I can quiet our fears by uploading to God a list of our accomplishments? God, I went to church 7,000 times in my life. Is that a boast you're tempted to make? You know what? I never miss church, personally. Of course, it's a little different for me. I contributed $10,000 a year to the offering plate. Not me, I'm using examples here. I'm not going to tell you how much I contributed to the offering plate last year. Someone might say, I was an usher for 36 years. I played the organ my whole life. I taught Sunday school. Do you think God will be impressed? No. He can say to us, I see that you want to deal with me according to your good works. Well, let me point out a few facts on the record. You cheated on your income tax here and there. You used my name in vain many times. You gave lousy excuses for missing church so many times. You drank yourself drunk this many times. You lusted after others many times. More than I want to say. You dishonored your parents in one way or another every day of your life. You failed to show love to your neighbor, even though you had a lot of opportunities. You lied or deceived. You gossiped. You complained about how I treated you. Your worship of me was a sham, and now you expect me to reward you for your accomplishments. God could say, well, if you want me to judge you by the law, you should know that your grade is zero. You're a failure, and you are not perfect in my sight. Peter knew that he had failed in his devotion to his Lord. Peter went out and wept bitterly. We're all failures. And that's the reason why. When Jesus prayed in Gethsemane that the cup might be removed from him, if possible, God's answer was no. God's answer to his son was, you are the Lamb of God. You're the one I chose to send from eternity to gain my favor for the human race. They can't do it. They're all guilty. There's no one that does right in my sight, not even your disciples. They're all going to turn their backs on you tonight. Run off. You are the one, my son, that has to set them free. It'll be hard for you to bear my wrath as man's substitute. It'll be hard for you to bear the stripes of the whip and all the other physical sufferings and embarrassments. But by your suffering, you are going to save the world, and there will be some who will enjoy the fruits of your work. There will be some persons here and throughout the world who will not come to me on the basis of their own so-called accomplishments, but will trust only in you as the Lamb of God that has bore their sin. Go forth, my son. Free men from the fear of death. You and you alone are the Lamb of God. Amen. Please rise. I'll direct your attention to your bulletin where we'll sing a response from hymn 147. The same peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, on this Ash Wednesday, we acknowledge our transgressions, and our sins are ever before us. The good that we want to do, we do not do, and the evil which we do not want to do is what we do. In thought, word, and deed, we have corrupted what is good. We have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and on that basis are unworthy to be called your children. We come before you humbly, trusting in your promise that in confessing our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We plead the merits of your only begotten Son. For the sake of his innocent suffering and death, pardon us. Wash us in his precious blood from our iniquity and free us from our sin. By your Spirit, lead us to the refreshing grace of our Lord Jesus as to a stream of living water. We ask your blessing to fall upon us as we hear your holy word, that you call to remembrance all the great things that Christ has done for all sinners. Lord, we ask your mercy and help for the sick and the aged, the lonely and the weary, the disheartened and the discouraged. Supply all their needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Grant unto all here tonight who have brought you the sacrifices of broken spirits and contrite hearts your full mercy and the saving knowledge of our dear Redeemer, in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now, with believing hearts, a blessing from the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please be seated.